Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to our DIC People Health and Wellbeing conference call to discuss its first quarter of 2018 results. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet in the website www.rd.com.br/ir. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will only be able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star 0 for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention the forward-looking statements are being made under the Safe Harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of RD management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and, therefore, depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of RD and could cause results to differ materially from those expressing such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Marcílio Pousada, CEO, Mr. Eugênio de Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, IR and Corporate Planning Director. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Marcílio Pousada. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the presentation of the results first quarter 2018, RD. As always, Eugenio, you present the results, and before the Q&A, I will stress some points, okay? Thank you, Eugenio.
Hello, everybody. Thank you all for attending the first quarter 18 conference call. We believe this was a quarter of a very challenging industry scenario in terms of growth, but in our view, we were able to produce very, very consistent and robust performance in that adverse environment. We ended the period with 1,651 stores. We opened 44 stores in the quarter and closed 3 stores. Our gross revenues reached 3.6 billion, 12.2% revenue growth with 2.7% for same-store sales growth. We reached a gross margin of 28.5%, a 20 bps decrease, but the structural performance was a 20 bps improved if we exclude the net present value adjustment, which was a negative 40 bps, and it's a non-cash adjustment. So EBITDA was 272.2 million, a flat 70.6% margin when compared to the first quarter 17, which also would have been a 40 bps improvement if we exclude the net present value adjustment. So net income totaled 121 million. An increase of 15%. The cash flow, both free cash flow and total, was a lower consumption than the same quarter last year. And finally, we issued 400 million in debentures in April 2018. Next page, we'll talk about our new store openings. So, as I mentioned, we ended the quarter with 1,651 stores. We opened 44 new stores in the quarter and closed 3 stores. 36.1% of our stores are still undergoing maturation. And it's very important to highlight that we keep seeing very strong marginal returns in the new stores, very consistent to our track record. And because of that, we have a very strong confidence behind our new store opening guidance of 240 stores, both for this year and for 2019. On page 5, out of the 1,651 stores, 759 are Raya stores, 865 are Drogasil stores, and 24 are Farmazil stores. We have entered a new market this quarter, Maranhão, So we have completed our entry into every state in the Northeast region. We're also preparing our entry into Pará, which is the main state for us in the North region, which should take place in the coming months. So this is extending our presence to the part of to the share of the country we believe we can profitably reach. So I think by entering Pará, we'll probably conclude a cycle of new market entries, but we still have a ton of opportunities in terms of growing share in every one of those markets. And market share was a highlight of the quarter. So we grew national share by 60 basis points. In São Paulo, our share improvement was 30 bps. In the Southeast, 50 bps. In the Midwest, where we had suffered over the last three quarters, because of the high comp base of Brasilia, we now resume growth. So we increased share by 40 bps, 60 bps in the South, and 100 bps in the Northeast, which has been probably the main focus of our expansion. For me, these market share figures are very important. And even though the revenue growth for us was disappointing in the quarter, and we'll talk more about that, the fact that we keep seeing very strong market share in every single region, it points to the reason being the market and not cannibalization and not competitive pressure. Yes, there is more competition. Yes, there are more competitors opening stores. We can question if that will continue or not, if that makes sense for them or not. But the fact is, these market share figures shows that that's not the factor behind the deceleration. The market is. So we believe that as we keep gaining share, as the market resumes growing, so will our revenues grow. On page six, entering the revenue growth, our consolidated gross revenues increased by 12.2% in the quarter, with 11.3% at the retail operation and 34.5% for 4Bio. In terms of mix, OTC was the highlight. We increased 90 bps in the mix. Obviously, the weather also contributed to that. It was colder than normal. HPC suffered to some extent because of that, but not too much. And there's also a switch effect of 20 bps of products that migrated from branded RX to OTC. So OTC grew a lot of steam in our mix. Red RX was flat at the expense of HPC and special generics. On page seven, when we look at the total, we start from 12.2% total revenue growth. Same store sales growth was 2.7%, while mature stores, they declined 1%. It's important to consider that there is a negative calendar effect of 0.6 in the quarter. So the normalized mature store performance was a minus 0.4. Page 8 is probably the most important page here of the presentation. The idea here is to compare both on nominal and on a real basis our growth with the market growth as well with the growth of the other chains of Abrafarma. Unfortunately, we can only bring four quarters of Abrafarma data because we have had new entrants and companies leaving the entity. So before the data beyond 1 year is not comparable to now. So we can only see four quarters of Abrafarma here. I'll focus here on the real growth. So we see that the market has seen a longer term growth something like real growth of something like 6% since 2015, roughly as an average. Now we're seeing the market growing 2.9%. So the deceleration here is very obvious. Having said that, when we compare our performance to the market, when we look at 2015, we were growing 45% ahead of the market. 2016 was a huge peak for the company because during the credit crisis, high interest rates, with competitors like Brazil Pharma suffering in a major way, we were able to grow 7 to 10% ahead of the industry. But this is a peak. This is not the normal number. I think if you look to 4 or 5% we did in 2015, it's a more consistent number. But even though the market is now growing below where it was, we're still growing 5 to 6% ahead of the market. So this is what gives us the confidence that as soon as the market resumes normal growth, our revenue growth will also normalize. And we believe also that there are a lot of opportunities for us in an environment like this. If you look to the Abrafarma data, this is Abrafarma X right from the view. Abrafarma, which is comprised of the main drugstore chains in Brazil, is growing even below the market. So we see a lot of pain and suffering around when we look at the market. So when we have a benign market with a lot of demand growth, I mean, this is a market that levels everybody. When we see a tougher market, this is when we really shine. This is where the difference in terms of execution, in terms of scale, in terms of financial capacity, really shows up. So this is a market that will drive faster consolidation. We believe we can gain market share faster. And with time, I think as the market gets back over the next quarters probably, to what the normal growth has been, I think normally our revenues will also follow suit. And on page 9, we have the gross margin information. We lost 20 bps of gross margin in the quarter, which was fully due to 4Bio. 4Bio has a negative mix effect in the company. But the thing is, we had a negative net present value adjustment of 40 bps, which is a non-cash adjustment. It's only an accounting adjustment. So we had other gains that offset that adjustment. So in other words, on a cash basis, our consolidated gross margin would have grown 20 bps, and our retail gross margin would have grown 40 bps. So we have seen very, very robust gross margin. And this has not prevented us to invest in prices where we think we have to invest. So over the last 2 years, for example, we have increased discounts in a market like São Paulo, for example, to increase entry barriers. But we have been able to finance that through pricing gains, through purchasing gains, by gaining margin on other markets. So it's a portfolio game that has worked for us. The cash cycle has been similar to last year, an 80 bps increase, but it's due to a peak in receivables here due to the calendar. So we believe we should get back to inline figures as we go on. Expenses on page 10 was also probably one of the highlights of the quarter. We diluted total operating expenses by 20 bps. We maintained flat sales expenses. Obviously, the lower performance in mature stores has affected our capacity to absorb expenses. So we saw 20 bps labor pressure, 10 bps rentals pressure, but we gained 10 bps in pre-operational, we gained 10 bps in other retail expenses, and 10 bps on a favorable mix effect from 4Bio. So in the end, the sales expenses was controlled, was fully in line. And we gained also 20 bps on the G&A due to lower variable compensation provision and to other dilutions we have achieved. So this has been instrumental in allowing us to defend our margin in a challenging quarter revenue-wise. Finally, page 11, we maintain a flat EBITDA. But again, without the net present value adjustment, which is just an accounting adjustment, has no cash repercussions, we will have grown 40 bps margin on this quarter. On page 12, we see the net income. We reached 121 million in the quarter, plus 15% net income versus 1Q17. And that's also a net margin in the expansion of 10 bps. Page 13, we had negative free cash flow and total cash flow in the quarter, and basically any quarter compared to the fourth quarter of the previous year is negative because the fourth quarter is a peak period, but we see a much lower cash consumption, both on free cash flow and total cash flow this year, than we saw in the first quarter 17. Finally, shareholder returns. Obviously, when you look at the year-to-date performance, our share price has declined 18%. versus an Ibovespa increase of 33.5%. But obviously, when we look longer term, we have seen since the Drogazil IPO, 29.4% total shareholder annual shareholder return, and 31% since the higher IPO. We have always said we are a very defensive industry and very defensive company. We always talked about having a low beta. It may be even the case that we have a negative beta. Now I'll pass to Marcelo, and then I'll get back with investor relations highlights before going to Q&A. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Eugenio. Let's go to page 15. I think that my comments here have two different parts. Okay, the first one's about the margin. It's a victory for us. We know that how difficult it is to keep the same margin level if you have a very difficult quarter less than we have right now. We maintain a gross margin, even we have a more competitive environment, and it's very good for us, and better we can keep the same sales expenses also. It's very difficult to do that because we decrease the sales in mature stores. Then this shows for us how strong our business and can keep very confident for the future. About the market, okay, we know this may be a cycle. We saw this kind of cycle in the past when we had a huge crisis that we had, like we had in 2016 here. And this is the part of the cycle that you can see the market's goals deceleration, okay? Even if you have a deceleration mark, we keep your track to open 240 stores. The stores open very, very strong in marginal IR. We open the store spread in all different 22 states in Brazil to help us to decide to open a store when you have a better market to open a store. This helps us in the future for sure. We keep growing the market share. We're looking for market share more right now than the past. We know how important it is to grow the market share in this process, okay? We know how difficult it is to open a store when you're looking for the competition. When you see a competition open store in your market, for example, this guy has to compete not against us, but also against Drogaria São Paulo, and we know how difficult to do that. And you know this is a cycle also, the guys try to enter the market, have problems, and try to close some stores and go again. We know this every time in the market. And we really believe in the combination of lower growth in the market together with accelerating for the other players to open stores can help us in leading this consolidation in the market. Then we have to take care here and go ahead, okay? Our number one driving, keep it the same, that you know the Asian population, you bring with us a very good price in the future. And always when the marketing goes down, we increase our share. Then we know that we're right path to do the same in this year. Right now we can go to the questions and answers. When we're here, first of all, we're going to talk about the IR activities, and after that, we'll go to questions and answers. Thank you.
Okay, so the first thing here is we issued in April 400 million in debentures. So it's a 9-series issue. With a 2.7-year duration and a 5-year final maturity at a cost of 104.5% of the Brazilian interbank exchange rate. So this is probably one of the lowest cost of capital in the country. And we have over time switched from BNDES financing to the market, because not only BNDES changed their financial policy, but also even the older BNDES lines, as interest rates have gone down, they became actually more expensive than market rates. So we are taking money to amortize part of the BNDES debt that we have had, and also to increase some of the gross debt to support our growth going forward. We have also the calendar for the next quarter releases. So second quarter, we will publish on July 30th, third quarter on October 30th. And finally, we have three upcoming investor conferences, two of them outside of Brazil. Marcelo and myself will be in New York from May 16 and 17 at the CEO conference of Itaú. I'll be at the CallGen
June 5 to 7 in Los Angeles, which is a Merrill Lynch conference. And finally, June 13, 14 in Brazil, we have a Citibank conference we will be attending. So I conclude the prepared remarks, and let's go to Q&A. Thank you.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Our first question comes from Mr. Guilherme Assis from Brasil Plural.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my follow-up question. I'd like to ask a little bit about the rollout of services in the drugstores, because that's been a theme that we discussed about, like, in the past few conference calls. And can you give us an update of how the rollout has been going, and what's the incremental revenues that you see for the stores that you already implemented that on? Any plans for a rollout for that?
Yeah, just to clarify, are you talking about vaccines? I'm not sure I understood your question.
Yes, that's vaccines and also additional services, but also vaccines.
Okay, so, I mean, it's still early days. So we have a store in Sao Paulo fully operating vaccines, and we have several other stores getting ready to operate. So it's very difficult to give any data. What we see is the seasonal component of that, of the seasonal importance of vaccines. So we had periods in which nothing happens, and all of a sudden, end of last year, in 1 week, we gave more than 100 vaccine shots in a single week. So
yellow fever, yeah.
During the yellow fever peak. So, I mean, I think, first of all, this is a service to the consumer. I think there is marginality here as well, but it's very difficult to quantify. But I think again, there are some vaccines we could apply any day, but in the end, this will be a seasonal business. Generally, for periods in which you have either dengue or yellow fever, in which you have either dengue or yellow fever happening in Brazil, or during the winter when we apply a lot of cold and flu vaccine shots.
I think the market is for flu vaccine, okay? We have one in São Paulo area, and the other, we just opened the other in Santa Catarina and Florianópolis. We are talking with the regulators, guys, to open more 15 or 20 stores this year in São Paulo. It's much difficult, very, very difficult to open a store. After to open the store, maybe you can see the numbers, but not a big number in the beginning. We studied the U.S. market. We know it starts very, very slow, and maybe a good business in more 5 or 6 years. Not right now.
This is certainly a multi-year process, but I think we are in the right direction. We now have the regulatory framework in place. So we'll learn from here, we'll expand from here, and we'll provide this additional service and take economic advantage of it as well.
Okay, I think that's good. And if I may, just a follow-up, can you also give us an update on how the Pharmazil project is going on? You guys consider that you've already achieved like a model that you should be able to roll out and grow in the future?
Well, I think we have been advancing in Pharmazil, but we also have had some stop and goes along the way. So I think, just to get back, when we started Pharmazil, we had some assumptions. We opened initial stores. Some things happened, some didn't. We learned from that. We adapted the model evolved. And when we look today, those initial batch of stores, they are very good stores, and certainly the returns were terrific. The challenge that we have had is in expanding that model. And obviously, we have a huge learning curve here, because all the geomarketing models that we use for normal neighborhood stores, they
they don't help much when you look at pharmacy. Just to give an example, a normal store is just a neighborhood store. We understand in a certain neighborhood how much people live there, how much market there is, how much market share we can gain. For PharmaZoo, because they're pedestrian stores, the demand doesn't come from people in the neighborhood. Very often you have people who live far away, but they are changing from the metro to the bus, from the bus to the metro, something like that. So PharmaZoo is driven by pedestrian traffic. And that's not an area we have all that expertise. So end of last year, we opened a new wave of stores, and very honestly, we didn't do well with those. I think we did some property selection mistakes. We believe we know what's wrong, but we have to open some more stores, and we gain the confidence. So we are no hurry with PharmaZoo. We still believe PharmaZoo can be a winning format for the future, but I don't think we are ready just now to start pushing the pedal. So we have to do a couple stores and build the conviction that we learn where to expand that. And the other aspect is that the C-class strategy is absolutely crucial for the company, and PharmaZoo is only one way of doing that. We are also, over time, pushing Bonhai and Drogasil further into the C-class market. Obviously, we're talking then a more traditional format. We're talking about a store with parking, serving, driving consumers, a more typical mix, but we also adapt the store look and feel. We have had products from PharmaZoo that we're also pushing into the popular formats of Rye and Drogasil. So I think we are advancing a lot with Rye and Drogasil on the core format. And with PharmaZoo, we have had successes, but we also have had disappointments, and we are still learning and building the conviction to go on.
Okay, that's clear. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mr. Joseph Giordano from JP Morgan.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. I have a question related to the expansion plan. So, you've been mentioning that new stores are performing in line with expectations. So I'd like to understand what should be the profile of the new openings. So if we should continue to explore a little bit more new markets and actually like fight competition with existing assets on the more mature markets, or actually this plan also ambits more openings, particularly in São Paulo metropolitan region, to further increase the store density and make it even harder for competitors. Thank you.
Okay, Joseph. So you touched on two points here, expansion and competition. So in terms of expansion, yes. I mean, we have been very happy with the returns. We're not seeing the return decreases. Maybe they'll happen in the future, but also the cost of capital has fallen down. But so right now, we could even claim the EZA is larger than it was in the past. When we think about one difference in our expansion is that we now understand cannibalization much better than before, because we have been able to build a model based on loyalty card data that allows us, once we open a store, to understand how much of the revenues are coming from new customers, how much is upsell to existing customers, and how much is just cannibalized sales. So we have adapted our strategy based on that, for example. So in São Paulo, we have been way more careful in this core area where we have so much share, because we already have a very big presence here, and cannibalization in this area tends to be high. So, for example, over the last many years, we opened a lot of stores in this high-income neighborhood. Over the last 2 years, we have reduce the openings in this area because we believe we already have a great density. Obviously, we'll always be able to open a store here and there to complement as the market gets bigger. But nowadays, when you think about the metropolitan region of São Paulo, we're growing way more toward the edges of this high-income area than inside the high-income area. So we're growing in more marginal areas in the state of São Paulo. We're also growing a lot into the Northeast. We are building our presence there. There are markets like Recife where we believe we are either already the leaders or very close to becoming the leaders there. and that's a matter of time. The same is also true about Salvador, so there's still a lot of opportunities on those markets. I think when you compare us to competitors in the expansion, we are the only company, without any false modesty, that has been able, year after year after year, to grow at a fast pace and still create value and still increase margins and still maintain revenues per store constant on a real basis. And we have been able to do that not only because I think we have bad execution, we do think we have, but the main point here is we already have all these states in Brazil seeded. We started going out of São Paulo almost 20 years ago and into Rio, Belo Horizonte, Curitiba, Goiânia, Brasília, and all those markets. In many of those markets, we had a lot of initial pains because of entry barriers, but we were the first incumbent challenging the local players. Today, even in markets that we had a lot of pain, like in Santa Catarina, for example, we're doing really well. So we are the only player in Brazil who has similar store economics across every state, who has similar marginal returns and capacity to grow in every state. Nobody has been able to do that. We're seeing competitors trying to accelerate growth, new entrants, and the results are really tough. We just saw yesterday a competitor publishing numbers with zero EBITDA and with revenue growth 13% below store growth. While, for example, we are growing now 11%, but with 15% store addition. Mm-hmm. So they are now in the market very significant entry barriers that are preventing these players to come to São Paulo. If you think about a market like São Paulo, you have Raya, you have Drogasil, you have Drogaria São Paulo, which is also very strong, you have Onofre, so it's very difficult. And we've seen the numbers that the results are not happening. Will they keep pushing or not? Time will tell. That's not our call to make, it's their call to make. But clearly, it's a plan that's not adding value. And we are increasing entry barriers. So occasionally, we may open stores here in regions for different reasons. When we look at the gross margin has been very healthy. But we have actually increased discounts in São Paulo over the last 2 years. And we have financed that with pricing gains in other regions, with better purchasing, with better mix from private label, for example. So the margin as an average is constant, but this hasn't precluded us to defend our position where we need and to make more money where we can. So that's why even in São Paulo, with tougher competition now, we have been able to maintain our market share and actually grow our market share. So we believe that in an environment like this, with a lot of pain, we're just starting to see numbers getting published. My view is that this quarter will be a bloodshed when we look at competitors' financials. We just saw the first of those. We will see others. So we have been able to absorb lower industry growth, gain share, defend markets. This is not happening for everybody. So when the market is painful, that's where the difference in financial capital structure, the difference in execution shines. So I believe we have a ton of opportunity in gaining share. I believe several players will have to cut or reduce the expansions in a tougher market. I believe a lot of players who are leveraged or who are suffering a lot in terms of revenues will have to reduce costs, and that means cutting people from the stores. This means reducing inventories, and this will make their operations more fragile. So for me, the message this quarter brings is a message about opportunity, and that's our focus. So when you look structurally, we're gaining share, we're defending the margin. Our margin, our expansion has been brilliant. So there is more good news here than bad news.
Perfect. One extra question, if I may, concerning this like a very, very challenging market for everybody, right, particularly for competitors. I'd like to understand how you see opportunities for M&A in this context. So if there could be like potentially interesting assets that you could acquire, should we expect like nearly 100% organic expansion as we saw in the past? Thank you.
Our strategy has always been organic, and that's the focus. That's what we know best, and that's the strategy going forward. Obviously, there are a lot of assets being offered around. There are assets, generally low-quality assets, that have been offered to us 3-4 different times to 3 different brokers. I mean, if anything comes to our attention that makes sense, we always look. So we're not dogmatic, but I think that the probability here is that we keep on growing organically. That's where the best returns are. For us to go out of our way would have to be something very, very, very special.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press star 1. One more time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. It appears to be no further questions. I'll turn the conference back to the company for their final remarks.
Okay, so first of all, I'd like to thank you all for attending this conference call, and also like to take the opportunity to summarize some of the points we have been discussing here. I mean, obviously, this was a challenging quarter in terms of industry growth, and that affects the whole industry. But when you look at what we were able to achieve, I mean, we defended margins, and if you look on cash margins, structural margins, we actually expanded that, even besides low revenue growth. We have also seen very strong market share gains by the company. When we look at the market deceleration, I mean, it's very difficult to be assertive, but our hypothesis really revolves around the macro situation. As the macro starts to improve, there is more competition for the consumer share of wallet. There is more, consumers are now spending more money in durable goods and discretionary purchases, and sometimes it leaves less money for everyday basic needs. This is a hypothesis. We can never be 100% sure of that. But obviously, this deceleration is affecting the whole market, and we are also gaining share in the face of increased competition. So as long as the share growth is that significant, when you look at revenue deceleration, I mean, the reason is very clear. I mean, we saw some people on the sell side speculating about higher cannibalization, about higher competition. Yes, there's high competition, but we have been able to absorb that as the share demonstrates. Cannibalization has always existed. So obviously, our mature stores will do better without any new store growth. But on a relatively basis, this year versus last year, store cannibalization is nothing different. So it's exactly the same. And as I was pointing before, when we see benign market scenarios, the whole industry is leveled off. There is capital for everybody. Everybody is growing revenues. Everybody has investment capacity. It's when we see adversity in the market that we really thrive, because I think we have better execution. We have a much higher financial capacity. Our store growth keeps adding value store after store, while we see most competitors who are growing destroying value, and therefore they won't be displayed. It doesn't matter if they have deep pockets or shallow pockets. I mean, a rational capital allocator won't be able to sustain investments for much longer if they keep destroying value. So we see a lot of opportunities in a market like that to accelerate share growth, maybe to drive some competitors out of the market. So, but opportunities will certainly be very rich for us in this kind of environment. As I mentioned, I mean, we have several competitors who publish results that we can see the quarterly numbers. We just saw the first yesterday, and it will really be a bloodshed because in this kind of low growth, everybody's growing much below us.
And I doubt they'll be able to have the same capacity to grow share and to adapt expenses that we have had. So again, this points to the opportunity we have in our hands. And a final message is that our focus has always been on the long term. And what I'll say now relates both to companies as well as to investors. It's easy to talk about long term factor when the short term is aligned, when the short term is beautiful. Real long term focus involves trade offs, involves choices, involves sometimes quarters in which the numbers are tougher, the growth is lower, or you may invest in margin, which actually hasn't been the case here, but we're doing that because of the trade-off, because of the longer term. So real long-term focus involves trade-offs. Our focus on industry consolidation, our focus is in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. It's great when we can have fully optimized quarters in line with that, but that won't be always the case. And whenever given a choice, our choice will be in long-term value creation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. RD's conference call is finished. Have a nice day.